Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Despite a disappointing Saturday in Indianapolis, the Buckeyes are in the college football playoff. OSU is the 2 seed after that loss to IU. The Hoosiers are the top seed. Georgia is 3. Texas Tech is 4. Those teams have first-round byes. Ohio State will meet the winner of Texas A&M and Miami in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Third straight year for the Buckeyes in Dallas. Here from OSU's head coach tonight on Buckeye Roundtable. Ryan Day is going to join the program at 6:30. In the NFL yesterday, the Bengals season came to an end. Cincinnati lost at Buffalo 39-34 to fall to 4-9 on the season. The Browns are 3-10 after losing to the Titans 31-29 in Cleveland. And CJ Stroud and the Texans are 8-5. Houston won in Kansas City Sunday 20-10. This update sponsored by Green & Sons, family owned and operated for over 45 years. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville in Raymond.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. I think the technical term is loaded up. I honestly don't know if we'll have enough time to get to all of this. We could have the end of the bowl system. Did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right? We have employees of the folks behind the College Football Playoff Committee calling it absurd and calling it misleading, among other things. So there was a lot going on this weekend, naturally, least of which is Ohio State losing for the first time in over a year. They did so in the Big Ten Championship game, and we'll get to kind of the approach of that and the distraction that had to have been there all week long. But no excuses, no excuses. And I do think it's important to properly understand what has just happened in college football, and specifically what has just happened to the Big Ten Conference. Indiana, kids, is the losingest team in college football history. Full stop. More losses than anybody in the history of the sport in Division I. Actually, the second and third most losingest programs in the history of college football are Northwestern and Rutgers. So we've got three of them. Indiana, as you no doubt heard on the broadcast, and as we talked about last week, had not beaten Ohio State since 1988. Reese, you weren't even born. In 1976, Indiana took a lead on Ohio State 7-6 in the second quarter of a game. And according to Lee Corso, and some of this is disputed, he asked the student newspaper to take a photograph of the scoreboard with his team in it to record the history of it. That's how absurd it was. They had not won an outright Big Ten title since 1945. They went 9-0-1. Their best stretch from 84 to 96 when Bill Mallory was there. During that stretch, they had a grand total of 6 winning seasons. Winning seasons. Before Kurt Cignetti got to Indiana, do you know how many 10-win seasons they had at Indiana in their history before Cignetti got there? Same as me. 0. Zip. Zilch. Nada. The dude is 24-2 in his time in Bloomington. His only losses are to Ohio State last year and to Notre Dame. I say all of that to say this. It wasn't a fluke Saturday. The better team won. It seemed to mean more to them. We talked about it all last week. It was the biggest game in the history of their program. It felt like it. They played as if they had nothing to lose because they didn't. They played fearlessly. They coached fearlessly. Hell, they took a play out of our playbook on the deep ball to clinch it. Looked pretty familiar, didn't it? Looked like Will to Jeremiah last year in the national championship game. Just throw the fade. Throw it perfectly accurate and throw the fade and go win the game. And they did. This is the greatest two-year coaching run in the history of the sport. There's no precedent for this. We were talking about this last week, trying to find scenarios out there or something in history that is remotely similar to this. But it come out of nowhere. This wasn't a slow build. Boise State had a bunch of different coaches, and they kept getting better and better and better before they finally got to a point where they were absolutely elite. If you go back, if you know your college football history, Bobby Bowden in the 70s and 80s had a kind of a slow build that turned them into a national power, but he had massive recruiting advantages. He was willing to play anybody anywhere, and it took time. This didn't take time. Now, some of that is NIL, big part of it. He brought a lot of those players with him when he came to Bloomington. It's an incredibly invigorated alumni base, which, as we learned last week, is the largest alumni base in the world, which blew my mind, but does. And they're locked in, and they're spending. And I took note of this when they got Mendoza, because there were two guys everybody wanted, Johnny Mateer and Mendoza. Those are the two. And he went to Indiana. That's an attention getter. Guys, they were better in the trenches. They were better up front. Julian was running for his life. They created more pressure in the pocket than Texas and Michigan combined. That's not fluky. It's not fluky. They're the number one team in this thing. They can absolutely win the national championship. Here's the good news. So can you. But you got punched in the mouth on Saturday night. And it wasn't fluky.
Did any of
you guys, that night, the better team won,
have flashbacks to last November, I believe the 30th of November 2024? Because a lot of what reared its ugly head Saturday night was what happened in that Ohio State Michigan game, the one that was Ohio State's fourth loss in the series.
And I would just push back on that real quick, Reese.
Sure.
I don't think that Michigan team was good.
Oh, no.
I think that was ghosts. I think that was seeing ghosts. I'm with you on the approach, but I think that Michigan team was seeing ghosts. That Indiana team Saturday was better.
And they showed that they're obviously that number one ranking for the first time ever, but it showed, you know, the whole season why everybody who had a vote thought them as one of, if not the best team in the land. Why the college football playoff, every week they ranked a team, they had Indiana after Ohio State, because what they saw on the film. And I think we had a lot of that. You know, you don't just go to Eugene and beat Oregon.
That was it.
You don't just go to Happy Valley and beat Penn State for the first time ever and not be a special team. But what I saw from Ohio State was a lot of what I saw from Ohio State back in November of 2024, was just a lack of execution. A quarterback that didn't look like he was a quarterback that looked at times he was rattled, and just a lack of understanding for who you were offensively. A great defensive performance.
Yeah.
Indiana went into the game scoring more than 44 points a game. Ohio State held them to 13. But offensively, you look lost, you look shaken, and you got pushed around.
And I think a lot of that's Indiana.
Sure.
I think a lot of that's Indiana. We'll get into some of the specifics of Ohio State here in a second, but I think the best team won. They were more physical up front. They were fearless in their approach.
I think the best team won that night. I don't think the best team won the game, but the best team that night won the game, if that makes sense. And the thing that's concerning to me, Bo, and you said it almost didn't look like Ohio State wanted to be there. And I feel that way because, and maybe I should have paid attention more to the fact that Indiana had the number two defense in the country behind Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But Ohio State, I feel like up front and in the trenches, should have been able to push them around a little bit, and they did not on the offensive line. 1 week after the offensive line, who I think has been very good this year, had their best performance, they had their worst performance. And I think a lot of times that is mindset and attitude. And it wasn't there for Ohio State on Saturday night, and it sure was for the team from Bloomington.
When a play needed to be made, they made it. When it was a third down play that needed to get a new set of downs, they got it. The defense was lights out, there's no question. But when it came time to make a play, to extend a drive, to put the game away, Indiana made plays. Mendoza made plays. Now, there's a lot to nitpick on the Ohio State side of it. One of the things, and I swear to God, I think we've talked about it every single Monday from week one on. It's been a wart, and many times we have said, molehills into mountains and try to look for some sort of thing to nitpick. Well, one of the things that's been consistent all season is this team does not have an identity in short yardage. They don't. And it came back to bite them in the biggest possible way on Saturday night. Where do the Buckeyes go from here? We get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back in the day, if you wanted to listen to The Fan, you turned on the radio, and that was the end of the story.
But now, oh baby, stream us live on The Fan app.
TuneIn app, iHeart app, we're everywhere.
The Fan, Ohio's streaming destination.
Hey, what's up? It's
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy skies are expected here for today, but it will be a colder day with highs only into the upper 20s to around 30 here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light at about 5 to 15 miles per hour. And then as we head into tomorrow, we are tracking more cloud cover across the area, but it will be a warmer day with highs into the upper 30s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
It's Reaction Monday, where our highly trained experts talk football.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Your home for reaction and overreaction, The Fan. Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and playoff team means brackets. Mountain Dew and The Fan are giving you a chance to win $500 in our college football playoff bracket contest. Just fill out the 12-team bracket before the first game kicks off on December 19th, and you can enter now at 971thefan.com. Let's just be, it's not an excuse. The game was played. On that night, the better team won. Ohio State had themselves a week. They had themselves a week. Tuesday night into Wednesday morning of National Signing Day, they find out their offensive coordinator is taking the job at South Florida. On the morning of National Signing Day, the apple of their recruiting eye decides to commit but not sign with Ohio State, which leads you to have to track that down. Chris Henry finally signed on Friday. Is that when it was? Or Thursday?
It's Friday he announced on Pat McAfee.
Okay, so it's Friday after we got air. That's right, because I said you're going to like the news, and then sure enough, it worked out. So, but imagine the amount of time that was spent on that. So you had your offensive coordinator is going to USF. You spent how many hours, minutes dealing with the Chris Henry situation? All the while, you're trying to prepare a team for a Big Ten championship game coming off of an emotional dominant win in Ann Arbor. And we all thought that it would all be fine. I did. You both did. Most of us did. We thought it would be fine. I picked it 27-13. I think you guys are in the similar. We were all right around there. 28-14, 23-10, something like that. And the thing you just kept coming back to is, how can Indiana score three times? Or three touchdowns worth of scoring? How can they do that? And surely, Ohio State can get to 24. I mean, that's worst case scenario, you thought. 24-17. 21-17. But something was different. And when I realized it was different was at the end of the second half. Ryan has talked all season about the middle eight. All season, we have heard about the middle eight. And the middle eight failed Ohio State about as big as it could possibly fail. And the approach in the drive right before half, I want to say, I'm trying to find it. I want to know exactly what the timing of it was. I really thought it was around 2:30, about 2:37 or something like that. They got the ball back. I know I tweeted it right at that time when it happened. But that last drive right before half. And Ohio State's approach right before half seemed to me like they were trying to initially make sure Indiana didn't get it back. And I thought, well, what are you worried about that for? They haven't driven the ball down the field on you at all. Like, your defense can hold up. Go score. Go handle your business. Go score. And they didn't. And then they didn't really try to. They were kind of content to go to half with a lead, knowing they would get it in the second half. And Ryan talks about the adjustments all the time, make some adjustments and then come out. Indiana didn't stop the clock either. Both teams were kind of just content to go to half with the score what it was. That put a yellow flag up for me. The red flags came up in the third and fourth quarter when Ohio State went on those two massive, time-consuming drives and get inside the red area and get no points. The first one on third down, they run the rollout pass to looking for Jeremiah, and Indiana sniffs it out, and Julian's rolling against his body, and there's really not a play to be made. Then they go for the sneak on fourth. Initially, they get it, but then on review, they don't. It's a play that Julian couldn't execute a couple of weeks ago. He just gets too low and he loses his footing. It's just what happens on it. But we shouldn't be in this spot either. We shouldn't be in this spot. So then you come down to the next time down, and it's third down, and we're in the jumbo formation. We're running play action out of it. Indiana sees it. He's looking for the back. I want to say it's Bo Jackson first. He's covered. Eventually has to go to a tight end leaking out, but he's covered too. There's nothing there. And I had a lot of people saying, well, why didn't he run it? Fellas, there was a linebacker standing there waiting for Julian to attempt to run it anywhere. He was getting nothing on that. So then you settle for the field goal, and I had a bad feeling the whole way. As soon as I saw Fielding run out there, I just did not like the feel of it. I didn't like playing for a tie either. And so that behavior offensively, and that goes to, I think, what you were saying, Reese, in terms of the Michigan comparison from a year ago. Like, the approach offensively did not fit what this team is. And I think the red zone stuff, which we had talked about, folks that listen every day, and a great many of you do, we've talked about the short red zone and short yardage all season. They've tried a bunch of different stuff. Tried Wildcat, tried Lincoln Keenholz, tried this and that. One thing they don't try much is Jeremiah. Like, for whatever reason, they don't. I would never take 4-17 off the field. But that's all second-guess stuff. That's stuff that you do on a Reaction Monday. But they do have some issue in short yardage that didn't come up to bite them until it did in one of the biggest possible games that you're going to play.
Yeah, the second half was a brain fart offensively. Because I think it goes to how good Indiana was and how well-coached the Hoosiers are as a team. I think that you had talked all year about this Ohio State squad, you know, making the proper second half adjustments, and offensively it wasn't there. And I wonder, like, if you're showing the Lincoln Keenholz package throughout the season, isn't this a situation where maybe you try it once? And you didn't see anything with that. I wonder, you know, at the right guard spot for Tegra, you know, Gabe Van Sickle plays the second half there, or at least most of it. I'm interested to see exactly what those snap counts look like. But, you know, just things that you had trouble executing against ain't played nobodies. When you play somebody, those things get amplified. And I think to your point about having Julian run it there, it's like that was going to be closed quick. Because going into the half, I don't know if Ohio State had, you know, Indiana's great. And sacking Julian there, I think when they did, the second down play maybe, I think told Ryan Day, like, all right, let's pack this in. It's a shame because you still had 90 seconds. But
one of the issues with running an offense like they have all year, where you're trying to slow the game down and have as little plays as possible in the game, which I'm not sure I understand why they were doing that in the Big Ten championship game against Indiana. I think we all thought it was time to take the governor off and let him go.
Yeah.
Maybe Indiana's defense had something to do with that call. But one of the problems with doing that is when you have those long sustaining drives, you have to get points off of them. Which is why I didn't like the call of not going for the field goal the first time. Put the points right on the board. Now, would Jaden have made it? Who knows? But you've got to put points on the board there. And then, as you mentioned, Bo, you don't like kicking the field goal to tie. Well, you wouldn't have been kicking a field goal to tie. You would have been kicking a field goal to win.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, points win games. And when you don't put points on the board in those situations, not only did you just waste a nice drive by your offense, you also gave their defense and their team some momentum.
Yeah, there's no when plays had to be made in the game, Indiana made them, especially in the second half. After the missed field goal, the damage that does to a team's psyche, there's no analytics for it. That's Humanalytics, stealing Rothman's word, right? That's Humanalytics. He's right. There is a human element to missing a kick or missing on a fourth down that just sucks the life out of a team. And in both of those instances, Indiana was able to have drives to take clock. They were able to do that. And that's all they needed to do was take the clock. I was surprised they didn't go tempo. At any point in this game, they didn't go tempo. Every time I would look over, and I understand they had a safety over the top a lot of times, but so many times I would look over there and I would see Jeremiah, and that kid played his ass off. The corner that was up against Jeremiah all day, Jeremiah still had 144. I think 50 of it came on the last play of the game where he somehow caught it amongst nine people. But the reality was that there had to be advantages there that you could have taken advantage of, and they didn't. And I'm with you guys. To me, it feels like they thought, we can win the way we've won all season. We can beat them 17-13 and on to the next. And I understand why they've done it all season, because guess what? As we sit here on a Monday, and I was thinking about the different tone. Can you imagine if this was the BCS and you're done? I mean, you can still play. You can still play for the national title. In fact, you're the 2 seed. You can still do it. It's all there in front of you. There's a massive difference than the last time you were in these type of circumstances. Very different. And so it's all still there in front of you. But I think the approach that Ohio State had Saturday night was an odd one and leaves a lot of questions, certainly. Ryan Day answered those questions. You'll hear from him on some of those answers. And now the path forward. We have a draw. We have a bracket. We'll get to it in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up,
Jew? Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Here's what's up on a Reaction Monday. Buckeyes lose to the Hoosiers 13-10 in the Big Ten championship game. They will be the 2 seed in the college football playoff. Lots to get to on that side of things in a second. Just to kind of hammer this point home, and this really speaks to how Ohio State has actively tried to limit possessions and plays really all season long. And I get it. I know what they're doing. They're trying to play 16 games. They're trying to win a national title. I get it. But this also creates very little margin for error. They had the ball in the second half for really just 3 drives. Just 3 drives in the entire second half. The 2 big ones in the third quarter, the drive that starts in the third quarter, 12 plays, 70 yards. It took 6 minutes and 28 seconds off the clock. It netted no points. The next time, that's the stop on downs where Julian slipped. By the way, Fox, be better. Be better.
Oh, they
can't. Cannot go to commercial on that review. They weren't even back in time for the announcement of the call. The biggest call of the game, they're in break.
Yeah. It's a Fox. I mean, Fox is.
It's no. Awful.
They can't be better.
It's awful.
Are physically incapable of providing a good broadcast now. I'm convinced of it. It was 8:20 by the time the boot met the ball.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. It's bad. And I think Klatt's really good. And I think some of their pregame stuff is really good. But holy smokes, man. It's just so arduous watching a game on their air. And they got to pay bills. I get it. We all know what we signed up for. This was all in the brochure. But my God, does it take forever. And you cannot take a break there. Whoever's producing that game, you've got to stay for that review. That's damn near the whole game right there. You're going to have first and goal. What were they at there if Julian gets that sneak? Were they at the 6? My God, these plays are so long. They're down. The IU, they were at the 5-yard line, guys. It was the 5-yard line. First and goal at the 5. Now, the way we do short red zone, no guarantee you would have scored anyway, but holy smokes. To miss that is absolutely catastrophic from a broadcast standpoint. So in total, 27 plays, 151 yards, and no points on those 2 drives. Ryan Day, we've talked about short red zone. He was asked about finishing drives. It was obviously the story of it. Here he is on that.
Well, just finishing off the drives obviously was huge and really the story of the game. There were times we moved the ball well. We had some decent drives, but when you get into the red zone and you don't finish like that, then this is how you lose games. That to me is really the story of the game. And then on third downs, 4 of 12, just not good enough. You know, didn't really establish the run. They were playing a decent amount of coverage. So when they're playing that much coverage, you should be able to run the football consistently. And when you're not, and you're not converting on third down, and you're not scoring in the red zone, that's the story of the game. And so, it's a tough lesson to learn, but it's got to get fixed fast.
Yeah, it does. I think that'll probably be the game plan going. There's so many things that Indiana was able to do. A lot of it had to do with the fact that their front got pressure without having to blitz. So when you can do that, then you can drop into zone on the back end. There's not a lot of pockets to throw the ball in those instances. Julian had the interception early, just like he had against Michigan. It didn't end up crippling you, just like it didn't cripple you against Michigan. From that point on, he was pretty sharp, but he didn't seem as crisp. And because of the impossible standard that he set for himself, what did he end up in this thing? Like 23 of 20, 21 of 29? It's still elite stuff in terms of that. But when they needed to make plays, it felt like they didn't know where to go. I mean, hell, they even ran that reverse pass with Ennis. That thing was crazy. That blew my mind that they were running that. But in the end, this really does come down to their inability on short yardage. Like Bo Jackson actually was 17 for 83 in this game. Now he did have a 20-yard run that kind of skews that a little bit, but there is very clearly nothing that they have confidence in the short, in the red zone, close, and on short yardage. There just isn't. Because we've had failures in this all season long. Now, it hasn't come back to bite them until it did. But the next time you play, it's going to be in the Cotton Bowl against Texas A&M, most likely, Texas A&M or Miami. And after that, it's going to be Georgia. You're going to be playing high leverage games from here on out. You're going to be playing pretty close to talent equate games from here on out, and you cannot have drives that don't end in points. Can't. And I don't know how you get that fixed in 3 weeks.
I think it's about 23 days until the Cotton Bowl Classic on New Year's Eve, and I just think that the second half was just such a lack of confidence in what Ohio State could actually execute. And that showed in the play calling, at least to me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you have a couple of weeks to get things right. But I want to also give enough credit to Indiana for making life hell for Ryan Day and for Brian Hartline. I know after the game, Day had said Hartline was calling the plays for that game. But I can't imagine there weren't situations where you had at least Ryan and Brian going back and forth on what they should be doing.
I think it's been completely collaborative all season.
Yeah, I think for the most part, and I think that'll continue to be the case. Like, I don't think there's any case that, you know, Brian was thinking to South Florida during this. I think Indiana got Ohio State's full, at least their full participation in terms of game planning for this. Just the execution wasn't there for Ohio State. And so I don't think you need to scrap everything. But you got to take a look at a lot of the stuff that you do short yardage. And I do wonder if Gabe Van Sickle's the right move moving forward at right tackle. I don't know where Joshua Padilla went. But after the Michigan game, I was confident that they had found their best five and that Tegra had kind of redeemed himself. Such was not the case in Indianapolis Saturday.
There are definitely issues in the red zone. And those have been there all year. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm fully convinced it's all play calling. Like, I don't think it's personnel. I don't think it's this or that. I think it's just them overthinking it and not playing how they play, getting all the way down the field. You take 17, you take 4 off the field, you put all these tight ends in. You're overthinking everything. We've talked about this all year. This team is built like a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
It's not built like a Ford truck.
No.
So even when you get down in the red zone, play like a Ferrari. Play like you're built. And I understand that's harder. The field gets shrunk. There's not as much room, yada, yada. Just throw it up. 4-17 is going to go get it most of the time. They're going to come down with it.
Yeah, they ran that slant to Jeremiah. Was it in the Illinois game?
I think that's right.
There was a game they ran that slant to him.
They used him in Purdue.
I just feel like he's going to get across. He's going to get across the corner every time on that. They weren't really in the. I mean, I have to go back and look at the 22. I don't want to talk out of my rear end too much here, but it didn't seem like they were bumping running him all the time. And I just think, in general, it's bad practice to take the two best receivers, maybe in all of college football, off the field ever. I just think that's bad practice. And if you're going to do that, and if you're going to sneak it, then I think it's got to be Lincoln, because Julian just, he gets too low. He did it in the Michigan game, and it came back to bite him. And now he did have some success with it, but he just gets too low and he slipped. I mean, on the one, he just slipped. For a while, they were trying to do the C.J. Donaldson thing. It feels like they try to run behind right guard a lot, which is obviously a bit of a weakness on that offensive line. So I don't know. There's got to be something that is sorted out here. But I think the big lesson here for everybody, and I'm glad you brought this up again, Reese, because that's why I led the show the way that I led it. The lesson here is Indiana's on your level. That's the lesson. And so we can all look and we can see the IU, and we can go through the fact that they're the losingest program in the history of college football, and they hadn't beaten Ohio State since 88. Well, they're here now. They're here now. And a lot of what they were able to do defensively was predicated on, I mean, this goes back to every advantage that Ohio State has had when they played the West Coast schools in bowls in years past. It was the advantages that the SEC schools had over Ohio State 20 years ago. It was always the trenches. Trenches. If you can get pressure with 4, you can do anything you want on the back end. Anything you want. And that's what Indiana did. They consistently got pressure. They consistently made it uncomfortable for Julian Sand. There were some absolutely abhorrent calls in this game. The one where they called him in the grasp was insane. And that certainly changed the way that Ohio State approached that drive, that they blew that ball dead.
because then that became third and 26 or whatever the heck it was. So there were some misses there for sure. But this wasn't about really any of that. This was really about on that Saturday night, the better team won. The more talented team is still Ohio State. And I still think Ohio State, here's the thing though. If they played 10 times, it's not 9-1. It's 7-3 or 6-4. It's not 9-1. In 2 years, he flipped it. He completely flipped it. And their defense, despite being ranked second in the country, and we talked about it all last week, they were better than I thought they were. And they confused Ohio State, and they wreaked havoc up front.
How much does that suck, having to say that?
Sucks so bad, dude.
That he flipped it. Your guy.
My guy. I mean, I gotta eat crow. I'm like Feinbaum.
He said the word humble on Saturday, and my head almost exploded. He's like, I gotta get these guys to be humble for in the next like 4 weeks. And I'm like, Kurt Cignetti, trying to be humble, huh?
He can walk around with his shirt off, pantsless, Bloomington for the rest of his life. He just delivered a Saturday night that they haven't had since Keith Smart hit a shot. That's how long it's been since they had a moment like they had Saturday night. Bask in it, dude. You deserve it. The rest of us will eat crow. We were all wrong. You did it. You did all of it. And how Ohio State responds to this, well, that'll be in the playoff. And the road, it's going to be pretty arduous to get back to a national championship game, just like it was a year ago. We will get into that, and we have a big, massive announcement with our friends at High Bank. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Wake up and laugh with the Bob and Tom Show on The Fan 2.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
It says here they've won 5 Marconi Awards. I can't even spell Marconi. The Fan 2. Columbus's home of the Bob and Tom Show.
Men, it's the hot.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
So this is this goes back a few years, and I've told the story before, but just to refresh for the new for those just joining, I've had a bunch of folks who have come to me through the years and want to do whisking, local companies wanting to do whiskey or bourbon and endorsements, and my standard line to all of them was, okay, send me some, and then we'll talk. And High Bank did, and once I tried it, I said, yeah, let's be in business with these folks. They know what they're doing. And Adam and his team down there, I mean, Adam's pure genius. There's a bunch of incredibly smart, brilliant people down there. You don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, where they've won best in show 3 years, best vodka in the world a month ago. Like, you just know what they're doing. They're very, very good. And so last year we did the event with Brady, which was really cool. And we did a couple of barrel picks. This year we did it even to another degree. So really cool about this. This was back in July and you guys were there as well. And we all sat down. We went into the tasting room and we, as we walked in there, there were all sorts of different, choices that were out there. And the idea was we were going to do a barrel pick and we'd like to pick two of them. And, it was interesting how much of a consensus there was. Did you guys think it would be that way, or did you think it would be a little bit more jostling? But it seems like we all kind of had a similar taste for the two that we picked, and I'll get to those two in a second. First time either of you have ever done that, right?
That was the first whiskey tasting for me, and it was awesome. So anybody who's been on the fence ever about submitting a Hey Guys, that's what it can win you. is that experience and a $50 gift card and a distillery tour. So Wednesdays at 11, get those in and you too can have that. Such an incredible and a cool experience. I think it goes a little bit more to show they know what they're doing and they know what the people like, because everything they put out there, the people loved.
And first time for me, and it was an awesome experience. That was a heck of a day, right? We do our show live on campus before the Texas game, and then we shoot straight over to High Bank and do that. Yeah. And I did think it was because there was, what, probably 10 of us sitting at that table?
Yeah.
And I believe of the 10 of us, we did it in two different batches where we tried things. I believe almost all of us had the two picks in our top three of everything we tasted.
Yeah, I think that's true as well. These were my two favorites. I love everything they do. These were my two favorites, though. And so the ones that we went with, and these are available now. If you can see on the stream, there's your full bottle there, if you got a good view of that.
Bo, lift it up just a little higher to get over the lower third.
And they'll be available at High Bank Friday at 11.
All right, there you go. There's the back. This is a dream come true for me. My face is on a whiskey bottle and my signature.
How about that?
That was pretty cool. So the two we picked a Pedro Ximenez XL cask. So what we do here is, what they did here is they do Whiskey War Barrel Select. And then what they do is they age it for 2 months in a Pedro Ximenez XL barrel. So that's a Spanish sherry. So they age it in there and then 2 months in a New American White Oak barrel. And then that's what comes out. The tasting notes on this, rich, creamy, sherry oak character. It's dessert in a tumbler. It just really is. It is absolutely delicious. Notes of grape, vanilla. This one was the Pedro Ximenez one blew my, that one blew my mind. It really did. It was a no-brainer.
So good. So good.
Yeah. So that one there, and then the second one we picked, and again, these two come in at 100, the Ximenez is 111, 55 proof, 111, percent, alcohol by volume. The other one is the French Oak Cognac. So that's this one here, the French Oak Cognac. There you go. There's your label on the back end. This one is going to have similar warm touches of caramel on the nose, fruit aromas, leading the way to raisin and nostalgic sweetness of grape hard candy. I think that's pretty solid. What they do with this one is the signature Whiskey War barrel proof aged in the French Oak Cognac barrel for 4 months. So that's what they do this. And again, Adam and his team, they are true geniuses. Their ability to blend these and to age these and to get to this point is nuts. Both of these whiskeys have been aged 6.5 years. They will be available Friday, you said, Reese, and a portion of the proceeds, and this is the other really cool part, a portion of the proceeds of these bottles benefit the Ronald McDonald House. So wanted to find a charity that would make a lot of sense too, and it's thrilling to be able to do this. I can't wait for you guys to try it. They're special bottles. They are special, special bottles. And what's inside, as cool as they look on the outside, what's inside's even better. And I'm very confident that you guys are going to love them. I know that we had some at the station last week, and I had all sorts of people from back when I was Channel 10 who I haven't heard from in years being like, hey, what's this? What's this? So I'm a radio guy now, guys. Radio guys get the goods. You guys are on the other side.
I literally, while I was up at the state championships, I got a call from Dom to Barry. He's like, hey, this stuff on your desk, where'd you get it? How can I get some? I want to try this.
We'll take care of Dommy. I'll make sure he gets taken care of. But these are available on Friday at the High Bank locations, and gobble them up because they're really, really good. And it's so cool to be able to do it and give to a great cause as well. Real quickly here, I know Adam, big Blue Jacket fan. Bake, I know you're doing high school football. Were you able to watch it all on Saturday?
I didn't. I was not able to watch, but somebody had it on their phone, and I was getting updates, and I was just like, I'm probably glad I'm not watching. And I watched last night, unfortunately, too, and that was not a great.
I didn't realize either. That was the first time they'd been shut out all season.
Yeah.
The
just tough.
Hey, speaking of high school football, let's give some flowers to Bishop Watterson, who you think may be the best team in the state, regardless of classification. I also want to give a lot of flowers to Olentangy Orange. I've said this before. I'm in the youth sports world.
whatever they're doing up there, and they spread it around all the schools. It's the best youth sports development I've ever seen in that region. So whoever's got the secret to that sauce, either keep it all to yourselves or share it if you'd like. But whatever they're doing, that's what everybody ought to be doing.
The last four Division I state championships in the Big Three boys sports have been won by the Olentangy School District. That's two straight football state championships with Liberty and Orange. That's baseball with Olentangy, and that's basketball with Olentangy Orange.
And Olentangy Liberty won lacrosse 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So
they won hockey 2 years ago.
That's Liberty right. They did. Won hockey too.
So the Olentangy School District is there. There's a lot of good athletes up there.
Pick Central did a double when Sonny was at Pick Central. They won football and basketball. Right? Sonny's junior year, did they win football too?
So I don't believe so. I think they lost. I believe that was the COVID year. They lost to St. X pretty badly in the state championship. Their last win was 19 in football. I know that for a fact. So maybe they did win a basketball.
They won that basketball. Year, but him and Devin Royal's junior year, they won basketball. Won the basketball state title. For Orange to do it in basketball and football, and by the way, they could win basketball again because the kid who's the quarterback's the point guard, right?
Well, I believe he's heading to OU now. I think he's an early enrollee, so I don't think he's playing basketball this year.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Doesn't mean they still can't win it.
No, sure can, yeah. And Watterson's a machine, just an unmitigated
helps
machine.
To have a bunch of Buckeyes.
They do.
That's good genes.
Sometimes they're undefeated.
Bo, how about this? Drew Belisari threw four interceptions, and they won 30-0 still.
Yeah, I mean, it could
That's
been.
Insane.
Yeah, I was texting with some folks. I think it could have been 50 pretty easily if they, with four interceptions, it could have been pretty easily, which is, it's none of the games were great this weekend, by the way. A lot of struggle bus
all
in the
blowouts.
State championships. Yeah. Oh, baby. We've got a bracket to discuss, kids. What they got right, what they got wrong, the Buckeye path. We'll get to it all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The college football playoff is set. Buckeyes are the 2 seed after losing to number 1 Indiana 13-10 in Saturday's Big Ten title. SEC champ Georgia's the 3, Big 12 champ Texas Tech's the 4. Buckeyes have a first round bye and will play either Texas A&M or Miami in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. Here from Ohio State's Ryan Day tonight on Buckeye Roundtable. OSU's head coach is going to join the show at 6:35. In the NFL, Week 14 wraps up in Los Angeles. The Chargers host the Eagles at 8:15. You can hear that game on The Fan following Buckeye Roundtable. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets were shut out for the first time this season. CBJ fell in Washington 2-0 to the Capitals on Sunday. They'll wrap a 3-game road trip Tuesday in Carolina. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Reaction Monday. The college football playoff bracket was released. I didn't really hear anybody complain about it.
No, everybody loved it. Universally accepted as the best bracket ever.
Seemed like they crushed it. We learned in 2014 that at the end they can do whatever they want. That's when we first learned it. That's when Ohio State jumped Baylor and TCU, despite both of those teams winning the previous weekend. And Ohio State had the last chance to impress, and they jumped them. And that was the first time that you should have understood that these committees are human beings. They are subjective. Their word is about worth as much as a Q-tip. And when it comes down to it, the last one is really all that matters. And all of the stuff before it is utter Nonsense. Now, why is the other stuff before it done? Why is there a poll every week? Because ESPN wants a poll every week. That's why. They want the television show. And they schedule it for, in most instances, an hour, but at least 30 minutes every time they do it. And why do they do that? Why do they ask the questions to the guy from Baylor? Now this guy, why do they do all of that? To create dialogue. Because for as big a mess as this sport is, and it's a mess in every single facet of it, there's very little things other than the actual football that's done correctly or right, because the adults have driven it straight into the flipping iceberg. It's still the second most popular sport in this country by a wide margin. And talking about it, as we do here a lot, is beneficial because it's a soap opera and it's entirely subjective. And in many instances, it's utter nonsense. Last year, they got into trouble, and they said, you will not be penalized for playing in a conference championship game. And that's how SMU got in. SMU played competitively, but lost to Clemson, and that's how they got in. So what did the committee do? They said, we're not going to award automatic qualifiers to every conference champion. We're not, but we have to take five. And real quick, do you know why they have to take five? Because it took 10 conferences to vote, and all of them had this, the votes were all worth the same. It took 10 of them to vote all of the same to go to a playoff model. So the olive branch to for the yes votes on that to the group of five is the highest ranked group of five gets in. That's how that happened. So that's how Tulane is in this bracket. James Madison is in this bracket because the ACC has the stupidest damn tiebreaker for their conference championship game you've ever seen in your life. And that's what kept Miami from playing in the conference championship game. If Miami played in the conference championship game, they likely would have beat Virginia, and then you'd have to worry about it. Then it's fine. But instead, you get this because they were not going to put 7-5 Duke in, although I'm guessing Duke would have had a better chance against Oregon than James Madison does. Same thing for Tulane and Ole Miss, which, by the way, have
we
already
saw
played.
That
game's happened.
Like, just they could have just swapped them
because it's all arbitrary.
Have Tulane doesn't go make to any difference. Oregon. Have James Madison play Ole Miss if you're going to do it at all. Give us a game we haven't seen before for funsies,
guys. I think 3 weeks ago on our playoff rankings YouTube show, I first brought up the committee doing exactly what they did. And that was, if the ACC does not get a representative, they are going to jump Miami over Notre Dame just to make sure the ACC gets a bite in the apple of this thing. When these playoff rankings, the very first ones, came out, Notre Dame was 8th. Miami was 18th.
Yep.
Since then, Miami has beaten Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. I'm not sure what they did in those weeks was that much better than Notre Dame beating Navy, Pitt, common opponent, Syracuse, and Stanford. So if you're going to tell me back then that Notre Dame was 10 spots better than Miami, and now you're going to tell me, they're better. They're Miami's better than Notre Dame.
They won head-to-head, right?
Yeah, I mean, tell me that then, right?
Right, but that's my whole point. They shouldn't be doing the stupid show, and they shouldn't be doing the stupid ratings every single week. Because until all the data is complete, they don't have a full picture. And in this instance, the final data was pretty simple. They had a choice. They were going to piss off Notre Dame, or they were going to piss off Alabama. Because Miami was getting in because they had the head-to-head against Notre Dame, and their resumes are relatively similar. But they beat them, and we all watched it. So it really did come down to Alabama and Notre Dame. That's what it came down to. And the committee had a choice. We're either going to piss off Notre Dame or we're going to piss off Alabama. And last year, what did they do? They pissed off Alabama. And if you think for a second that Greg Sankey was going to allow for that to happen again, you're out of your mind. Because he wants his SEC title game, and he wants his teams playing in that SEC title game. So you had a choice. You're either going to make the Irish upset and have them, and we'll get to what they decided to do in the bowl game in a second, or you're going to have SEC teams go to Sankey and say, yeah, we're not playing in it. We're not playing in it. We're not. And you can cry that it's fair or unjust or that Notre Dame was misled, and I think you have a real case on all of those things. But from their perspective, they had a choice. One school or the 1A most important conference. And they chose one school. Now, for the Buckeyes, I do not understand for the life of me why they're in the Orange Bowl. Or the Cotton Bowl, rather, and not the Orange. I don't understand that. It utterly makes no sense to me. If the seeds hold, Ohio State would have to play in the Cotton Bowl, where they played last year against Texas. They would have to play in the Cotton Bowl against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Now, if you think that playing in, if they were in the Orange Bowl and the bracket were the same, if you think for a second that playing Miami in Miami would be a home field advantage for Miami, I got news for you. It wouldn't be. Not at all.
It'd be kind of sad for Miami if we're being really honest.
It'd be a Buckeye home game. It is not going to be a Buckeye. The two seed, that's going to be a road game against Texas A&M. It will be. So I have no idea why they did that. By the way, Texas Tech should have been rewarded to be able to play in Dallas. Why is Texas Tech not playing in Dallas? Then you're making Oregon, who's a 20.5-point favorite over JMU, fly from Eugene to Miami to play in a bowl game. You could have just met in the middle and played in Dallas against Texas Tech. I have no idea why Ohio State's not in Miami.
Is there a chance that OSU lobbied?
Why would they want that?
It's a good question. I mean, they've been there for this is the third year in a row. OSU's going to be playing in the Cotton Bowl.
I don't know if this is the case or not, but I'm guessing they just had this done beforehand. Like, the one seed's going to play here, the two seed's going to play.
No, Bake.
I think Georgia, if they're the one, they're in the Sugar Bowl anyway.
For sure. They try to go geographically.
Yeah.
What makes the most sense. But that makes no sense. It's the same flight from here to Miami or here to Dallas. It's the same. It doesn't change at all. You would have gotten to play Miami or Texas A&M in Miami, where Ohio State has a massive alumni base in South Florida. They have a massive alumni base, everybody, but it's not as big at the Cotton Bowl. Here's the other thing. The truth is, if you're the three, you've got an easier road in my, not even close. I'd much rather be Georgia.
Bo, speaking of that, so Wednesday, I was on here and I said that the Big Ten championship game really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't, right? In the grand scheme of things, both those teams were in. Both those teams were getting byes. And Scotty Vegas texted me saying, "You're crazy. It matters a lot. There's the championship. There's the Heisman." Immediately after the game, Saturday night, Scotty texts, "You know what? I think the path of the three seed is probably better. I think this works out." And I'm like, I thought I was crazy. This mattered.
Because it did matter. And it still does matter. Because I think you're going to see with Mendoza, the Boy Scout, and I'm still pushing back that Big Ten title game mattered. Now, for the idea that you can't win the national championship, no, it fine. But this is what it gets you. Because I don't know, we saw Alabama in the SEC championship. Anybody scared of that Crimson Tide team?
No. But I think and again, it really didn't matter. There were people who said if Alabama loses by 40, they might as well have. They were completely inept.
That was bad.
But guess what? They're playing Oklahoma in Norman. They open as the favorites.
Like, is that first 1-10 wins that game?
I have no idea.
So in the Iron Bowl, Ryan Williams had zero targets.
Right.
In the championship game, he might have had three catches.
No, he's had a tough year. He's had a very tough
year. It makes no sense.
No. I don't understand why Ohio State's in the Cotton. I don't know why they're not in the Orange. The only thing I could think of is if Cotton was promised a 7:30 game on New Year's Eve and they didn't want to play New Year's Day because the Orange Bowl's at noon on New Year's Day. Maybe there was something with that. And of course, if you're ESPN, you want a TV package. You want Ohio State in the TV package for sure. So maybe that had something to do with it. If the Cotton Bowl was preordained to have the night game, maybe that's it. But aside from that, I don't understand that part of it. As for the rest of the beef, and there's a lot of it, what did they get right? What did they get wrong? And are we witnessing, did we witness already the end of the bowls? We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Make
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your new Columbus home for the Jim Rome Show is The Fan 2.
Catch the live experience weekdays from 3 to 6.
Just one requirement. Have a take and don't suck. The Fan 2, Columbus's home of the Jim Rome Show.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today, with temperatures only into the upper 20s to around 30 here for this afternoon. And then for tomorrow, we're tracking more cloud cover across the area, but it will be a warmer day with highs back into the upper 30s. Rain and snow here for Tuesday night into Wednesday. Could see some minor accumulation and highs back into the lower 40s Wednesday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
One, two, three!
Football season is weird because we actually look forward to Mondays. It's Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Buckeye Jewelry starting at just $99. Sawmill Easton. I got a pickup for the blonde with my guy Daniel over at Easton here in the next couple of weeks that we got to get going on for the big holiday here coming in a couple of weeks. Plenty of time still. They will take care of you. I promise you that. This on social, I miss this because once we got through who's playing where, I'm done with that show. Like, I didn't need to see anything else. But apparently the committee said, according to David, the committee said they wanted to avoid Ohio State playing Miami on the Canes' actual home field. If they said that out loud, then they're even more clueless than I thought. The idea that playing, by the way, if Miami gets to that game, they got to beat Texas A&M first. But if Miami gets to that game, they got to go to Kyle Field to beat Texas A&M. If they do that, the idea of playing Miami in Miami and it would be a home field advantage for Miami is laughable. Now, the opposite would be if Texas A&M goes to the Cotton Bowl and you got to play them in the Cotton Bowl, that will be a home field advantage for A&M. Much better chance to be a home field advantage for A&M. Do you guys think Notre Dame got jobbed here?
Yes. But I'd have no like passionate take about it. I think it should have been just flipsies, Notre Dame and Alabama. Like the idea, I understand you're not going, you don't want to penalize, whether you say it or you don't, penalize a team for its participation in a conference championship game. The way Alabama just got raced by Georgia makes me, I want nothing to do with Alabama in the college football play. I wanted nothing to do with them last year because they lost to a really bad Oklahoma team. But for Notre Dame, and I kind of empathize with Irish fans because you got led along the entire time.
They did.
The playoff committee was doing the damn thing. And then at the last minute, you got the rug pulled out under you for Alabama, which doesn't help them at all with the SEC bias. But I think ESPN's okie dokie with it. And it's comical to me that two very highly paid ESPN employees are going, we don't need the ratings show, knowing in the back of their mind that you're never getting rid of the ratings show.
No.
Why would you get away rid of that?
No.
I don't think anybody at the bottom of this thing is getting jobbed. That's for sure. So if you're Notre Dame, beat Miami. That's my thing.
That had to matter, and I'm glad
Miami,
it did.
Beat Miami. That mattered. Miami got in. Now, if you're just getting the 12 best teams in the country, which we know we're not, because we have these automatic qualifiers and automatic bids and whatnot, if you want to go by that logic, then yeah, I think Notre Dame is probably one of the 12 best teams in the country, and they should be in, but win your damn games.
Yeah, and what was, it was crazy, I love Joey Galloway, but I heard him up there while I was still watching. I think we got to go to 16. That's not the problem.
That's going to fix. Anybody that's thinks that's going to be the fix. Guys.
And we're still going to be complaining about 17 and 18.
Somebody else, some other, they were still trying to talk about Texas, for God's sakes, because they're terrified of losing those non-conference games that Texas lost here. Well, if Texas beats Florida, they're fine. They were fine. And again, I do think it's pretty simple. I think the committee had had two choices. You were going to upset Notre Dame. You're going to upset a conference. You're going to upset Alabama. They upset the conference last year. This year, they weren't going to let that happen. Of course, they spoke out of both sides of their mouth. Conference championships don't matter unless they're in the Big 12, and then they matter a lot. In the Big 12, then we can get you out of there. Then it doesn't matter. But in the SEC, they don't. Alabama is garbage. They're garbage. And they've been leaking oil for a month. They haven't been good in a while. I don't understand how they're favored against Oklahoma unless people just think Oklahoma's offense is that inept. I would just ask you to ask Alabama's offense and watch that and get a real view of that. Now, the other factor here is Notre Dame came out swinging, and Notre Dame's not going to play in a bowl game. Notre Dame has a press conference. Pete Bevacqua, the athletic director at Notre Dame, has a press conference tomorrow at noon.
We're really waiting with bated breath on that.
I don't blame them. Can you imagine trying to get your team ready to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl?
No, but this isn't it.
No, but also it is, because how are you going to motivate kids who are already wealthy, who don't want to risk either injury for next year or playing in the NFL or getting ready for the NFL draft? How are you going to convince them to play in a bowl game? The bowls are dead, man. And it wasn't just Notre Dame. There were a bunch of teams that bailed on the bowls. It wasn't just the Irish. A lot of them bailed on the bowls and said, we're out. And this is, you reap what you sow here.
Yeah, it looks like Florida State, Auburn, Central Florida, Baylor, Rutgers, Temple, and Kansas.
Yeah.
Well said, no thank you.
Yeah, we're good. And I saw one of the, I think the Big 12 is, was it the Big 12 that's fining their schools like $500,000 if they don't play?
Iowa State and K-State are getting fined.
They're getting fined for not playing in a bowl game. So when you go to 12, and inevitably if you go to 14 or 16 or whatever the heck they're going to do next, you're going, the bowls are dead. It's over, man. And you're not going to hold on to these type of things anymore. And there will still be a couple of schools that want to play in them. And I had somebody say, well, you're giving up the 15 bowl practices. Man, Marcus Freeman's team is not going to resemble next year what it is this year at all. Marcus Freeman got his class locked in. He didn't have a single decommitment. He's going to have to be in the portal for some talent. He doesn't, what does he care about this? He doesn't. And none of the rest of them do too. And because of NIL in the portal, there's no reason to make a kid play. I mean, we're 10 years into guys skipping bowl games. I mean, I remember 2013 when Bradley Roby skipped the Orange Bowl. And it was like big news. Wow. That's 12 years ago, man. It's a long time. So, yeah, the bowls are absolutely done. Now, one thing that Ross Dellinger brought to light yesterday, which is utterly stupefying to me, Dellinger reporting a new wrinkle from Notre Dame as part of an MOU signed last spring. Notre Dame is assured of a college football playoff berth that is ranked in the top 12 next year, no matter what. If this year's situation unfolds next year, the final at-large team, Miami, would have gotten bumped for number 11, Notre Dame. They're doing this all wrong. And I understand Notre Dame's bowed up, and I know they're more resilient than ever. This is when you force them to be in a league.
Yes.
Now is the time. Because guess what, Notre Dame? If you played in the ACC title game, which you did in COVID, if you did that, you'd be in the playoff. And you'd probably be the sixth seed, the seventh seed at worst.
So that memorandum of understanding per Ross Dellinger only covers 12 or 14 team college football playoffs. If we think this thing's going to 16, don't they just pull that Band-Aid? What would it be? January 22nd, I think is the date, the new date that they set
for
figuring out expansion. And then they go, sorry, Notre Dame, that MOU only applies to 12, 14.
I can't believe they did this to begin with.
If they're doing
Pete Bevacqua was always in the room. He's always at these conversations. Yeah. He's always at these conventions. Like, they always make sure to add him.
If they're doing this, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, they should all do this too, because they move the needle with eyeballs as much or more than Notre Dame. Quit making rules for separate people. You either join the game or get the hell out.
Yes.
Like, quit making separate rules for different groups and different people here. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it all is. And a big product of how we got to this point is unbridled greed in conference expansion. That's how we got here. That's how you get to a point where you have conference championship games where two teams haven't played, no common opponents. That's how you got here. Just relentless, unbridled greed from conference commissioners, which were ordered by conference presidents to do so, and chase every single cent that you can find and create money where it doesn't exist and find money, money, money over and over and over. And there's no common sense to any of it. None. The calendar has no common sense. This is just this arbitrary show every Tuesday night makes no damn sense. None of it makes conference championship games matter unless they don't. I mean, they talk out of it. There's no consistency with any of it. There isn't. And until they get it, you're going to have chaos like you had yesterday. Now, the good news is everyone's still going to watch in massive, massive swaths. Folks are going to watch. So in that sense, they win. But I think overall, yesterday was a loss for college football. Get Austin Ward's take on all of this in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery, your destination for handcrafted cocktails, locally inspired dishes, and award-winning whiskey war. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Well, buddy, I suppose I thought that there was a possibility of this. I had Ohio State winning 27-13. How did you have it before we kicked?
I had it 34-17. Okay. Clearly, I underestimated both of these defenses. I thought Indiana would score a little bit more, and I certainly thought the Buckeyes would have more than one touchdown.
Yeah, I think that the number one, and we'll get into the Ohio State issues, and I think the approach and some of that deserves to be questioned, but I do think that you have to acknowledge what Cignetti has done in 2 years, and Austin, they bullied, their defensive front bullied Ohio State's offensive line all game long.
That was how they won the game, especially. Even as Ohio State figured that out, and the most notable adjustment that they made was, you know, removing Tegra Shibola in the second half, and Gabe Van Sickle came in, and Ohio State put together two really efficient long drives. You know, I say efficient until they got into the red zone, when we all know what happened and they bogged down. And I think that's when you're talking, Bo, about some of the process, some of the game planning, some of the decision making, some of the play calling. This isn't an issue that just suddenly materialized.
No.
On Saturday night. So we've been talking about it throughout this year, and that Ohio State was not even at the level of success that it views as the standard in the program, which is 75% in the red zone to score touchdowns, not just to score points. They got 0 points out of it. And all that is to say, Kurt Cignetti does deserve a lot of credit. The way that he has upgraded in the trenches after what happened to them in the horseshoe a year ago is notable. He has done a fantastic job getting his team to buy in. He coaches confidently. He coaches aggressively. I went into this year a little bit skeptical of how much he would be able to duplicate that based on coming off of year one and how many transfer portal guys he used. But he has earned all the attention and acclaim that he's getting, and now that Big Ten trophy is deserved because they executed better. They had, a better game plan. I think that they coached better on Saturday night than Ohio State, which is hard to understand in a one-game sample, but now the Buckeyes, you know, have three and a half weeks to look at how that happened and adjust, because I think we can all look at that and say that they were distracted. That was not a typical Ohio State game plan or approach, and I think that what happened in the week leading up to it caught up to them, quite honestly.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you lose the coordinator, you spend all week trying to convince Chris Henry not to take a bigger bag at Oregon and all these other things that are going on. And it is, but they all signed up for this. This is in the brochure, right? And I think the thing that is, this is when I had a yellow flag go up, bud. That drive at the end of the first half, Ryan has talked all year about the middle eight, and it felt to me like they were very comfortable just kind of like, hey, if this big run busts, then maybe we'll go try and score. If not, we're comfortable 10-6. We're not really seeing the field. They're dropping into coverage. They're at Julian's feet a lot. Let's just get to halftime 10-6. And I thought, wow, that is not what I thought this team would be if backs were truly up against the wall. And then you mentioned the two drives, and that goes back to this team has had all of these games, and you and I every Monday will, you know, I'll use the phrase molehills into mountains with red zone, right? Because they kept winning and kept covering. But they've had a red zone problem all year. They've had a short yardage problem all year. I don't think they know what to do in the red zone all year, not in the short yardage. The approach, I thought, was so pessimistic for a team that has maybe the two best receivers in college football and a kid in Sayan who's probably going to be at the Downtown Athletic Club on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think I have had a number of conversations and more of them on Sunday, Bo, about what's really driving this? What's the 13-14? What's the three tight end, four tight end personnel grouping really about? And what are you hoping to accomplish? And, you know, throughout the entire year, it's been, well, if you have Jeremiah out there and he gets doubled and then you have extra physicality to block with and you can create an extra gap, that should help with run game success in the red zone. And I think in theory, all of that checks out. In practicality, once you're in the games, we've seen it all year long that it doesn't work, that it might take two or three cracks for C.J. Donaldson or the run game or whatever to finally break through in the red zone. And, you know, that's fine if you're playing Rutgers or Purdue, but those are not going to be the matchups that Ohio State has anymore. And I think maybe they have overestimated that schematic advantage, that the personnel, especially if you're putting in, and this is not to pick on Nate Roberts, and I've said this to you for a couple weeks, Bo, that, you know, he's a true freshman. You know, he's not going to be built physically to go win up front right now the way either an extra offensive lineman would be or to stretch a team out. Like, we can all come up with different solutions that might get this fixed, but that personnel grouping is probably not going to work against Texas A&M or Miami. It is probably not going to work against Georgia or Ole Miss, and we saw it not work against Indiana on Saturday night. So Ohio State, you know, we're not living in a world where Ohio State can't find a solution to score in the red zone because they have more athletes and better offensive acumen than just about any program in the country. So maybe the silver lining of this on Saturday night, Bo, is that they have now seen and have documented evidence that approach is no longer going to work. And I think we could all have seen this coming for a month or two based on the lack of success against lesser opponents, but you can't hide from it now. And if it means, all right, well, 12 personnel or, you know, stretch it out or throwing some of those, you know, passes that we used to see with KJ Hill or Austin Mack or whatever, like 5 years ago, like, let's see some of that back in the arsenal, because Ohio State can obviously execute that with all the players that you mentioned. We know what Jeremiah and Carnell and Brandon Ennis and Julian Sayan are capable of. So I think the game is going to have to be more in their hands than it has been through these first 13 games.
Yeah, and I think the big thing to take away, the other thing you have to take away from this is, and it's Indiana had the ability to do it. There aren't many teams. Maybe Georgia will have the ability to do it. If you can get pressure with four, that allows for you to play those umbrella coverages where nothing gets deep and there's not much out there. And it was the first time, and it's crazy, like Julian set such a standard, but it was the first time that I felt like he was even double clutching it a little bit. Like there just wasn't what was there he didn't expect to not be there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it was the fact that the pressure was coming. And I said Tucker Shibola. That was also one of the rougher outings that we've seen from Phillip Daniels. So as Indiana was getting home, you know, it didn't even really matter that much what coverage Indiana was playing behind it. I thought it was fine, but Jeremiah Smith was running past it, and anytime you run him on some of those, you know, 10-yard out and hitch routes, no one is ever going to cover it or stop it. Ohio State still had success with a lot of that. I agree. There were four or five plays where Julian appeared to be second-guessing it. He was a little bit late on the first interception. That was right off the bat. That wasn't even a real pressure situation, I think, that it got to him. But, you know, the decision-making process, when it sped up like that, all quarterbacks are going to make mistakes. You saw that with Fernando Mendoza in that game as well. it probably would have been a different game if holding wasn't legal on Saturday night for Indiana. Yeah. That's a whole other conversation down the road. But, you know, again, I think that everything, as you said to start it, Bo, comes down to the way that Ohio State's offensive line and the Indiana defensive line matchup went on Saturday night. Indiana unequivocally won it. And if you're going to win a national championship, Ohio State didn't have any games, obviously, where it was getting bullied up front in the college football playoff a year ago. So I think those guys are all going to have to play at an even higher level. And maybe that is schematic adjustments. Maybe that's personnel adjustments with Gabe Van Sickle or potentially Josh Padilla. I think all options will be on the table again, because you can't hide from the truth when you lose. And you don't want to have to go through this deja vu process for Ohio State. But it was a 13-10 loss at the end of the regular season that prompted a lot of that self-evaluation and adjustments that were made in everything that happened after that against Tennessee and Oregon and Texas and Notre Dame. So they have 3 weeks to get that figured out. I'm going to still err on the side that they will.
Yeah, me too. They're fine. And I think they'll learn a lot from it, and they can still accomplish the major goal, which is to win it all. I do think the path is tough. There's just no easy path. Did they want to play in Dallas, Austin? Why are they not playing in Miami?
Yeah, it got a little bit complicated. And actually, while I was in the Woody yesterday, I got in there a little bit before noon. Like, there was actually some conversation that the conference ties with the Sugar might get adjusted because of the potential matchup, not just the Tulane factor for Georgia, but playing Texas A&M in Dallas or Miami in Miami. It got a little convoluted down the stretch. It did seem like the routine and the familiarity with the Cotton Bowl was a preference for Ohio State. And I think when the committee was in the room, they also were, trying to find the best geographical situation for everybody. And it sounds a little bit silly, but that's a spot where Ohio State has been pretty comfortable. I think they're okay with the destination itself, but if it does wind up being Texas A&M there, that's not very advantageous for them. So I know that there were a lot of conversations and permutations, but in terms of actually being in Dallas, my understanding is that the Buckeyes did not have any issue with that.
They talk so much out of both sides. That's hilarious. Like when you talked about like the travel, Oregon's going to win. They're favored by 20. They have Oregon playing in Miami against Texas Tech. Last time I checked, Dallas is in Texas. So
makes sense to me, Bo, but I know that they put everything out that when I heard, because I thought all along that the loser in the Big Ten championship game would go to Dallas. That was like every conversation I had for the last month.
Yeah.
And then at the last moment it was like, well, maybe the Orange. And then on Sunday, I'm not kidding, they're like, they might change this and the Sugar could be in play. And I was like, how? I really couldn't give you an answer for why or when or how. Like, but I know that they're okay with the path that they've got in front of them.
All right, buddy. It's going to be a fun one. Could be Texas A&M, Georgia, and then potentially a rematch. But a lot of work to do, obviously, and you'll be there every step of the way. Thanks for your time, as always, buddy.
All right, well, see you. Have a good week.
All right, there he goes. Austin Ward, The Beat with Austin Berm, the Roosters live show on YouTube, and, of course, 10TV+. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Jake Diebler Daily Show, brought to you by Encova Insurance.
86-82, Ohio State over Northwestern. This is a very satisfying win. It has to be, the way things ended, going 1-0 the Big Ten.
What a huge opportunity, thanks, for us to have a chance to start the season, Big Ten season, 1-0. And I talked coming out of Pittsburgh game about how proud I was of our response in the second half. But clearly we had to clean some things up, and I thought we did. You know, I thought we did. We came out more aggressive, which was good in the first half. And then they came back and built a lead, and we responded in such a big way. And it was a total team effort. I think that's a big thing. Really, obviously, proud of Brandon and how much he stepped up in the minutes. And it was hard to take him off the floor. So appreciate the Buckeyes we had here supporting us in Chicago. We always have a great turnout when we're here, and that was impactful as well, guys.
We'll have another comment after this.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Ohio State 86, Northwestern 82.
Coach, when you look at what your team did in the paint, 62-38 advantage. Just talk about how that success equated.
Well, we talked about executing the game plan, and both teams, us and them, wanted to play through the paint. You know, they were a team who had thrived on getting to the free throw line and getting the ball inside. And obviously Martinelli's a really special player. But, you know, there's multiple guys that can beat you on that team. And I thought for the most part, aside from the offensive glass in the first half, our guys did a really good job executing what we wanted to do and, you know, stayed with it. Like, even though they may have hit a three, we were going into this game saying, okay, we were going to really, really protect our gaps. And our guys did a great job.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thon is on. Get in the spirit of the season with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla Hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Reaction Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
We had a lot going on this weekend, and something that's kind of percolating right now is Penn State's Board of Trustees is set to meet to approve an 8-year, $10 million per year deal for new head football coach Matt Campbell, who leaves Iowa State after being the winningest head football coach at Ames. Campbell's making $5 million a year at Iowa State. Penn State's also going to agree to pay the $2 million buyout that Campbell owed to the Cyclones. Campbell's bringing over his defensive coordinator, John Heacock. So it looks like Jim Knowles will be out of a job after Penn State's bowl game. Terry Smith's going to stay on for 4 years. Jimmy Rogers, the head coach at Washington State, is going to be the new head coach at Iowa State. And this from Football Scoop. Jimmy Rogers apparently didn't need to know his salary at Iowa State before accepting the job. This from Iowa State's athletic director, Jamie Pollard. Thing or not a thing?
I think when all is said and done, this is probably about as good a deal as Penn State could have gotten. Now, I have no idea if Matt Campbell will be any different than James Franklin. He's never coached with expectations ever. How will he coach with them? I don't know. None of us can know. We can't say with certainty how exactly this is going to look. We don't. But when you consider all of the misses along the way, they end up with a guy who won in Ames, which is as tough a place to win at as any place in the country. He didn't win massively, but he won there and won consistently. And if you're looking for just how much he'll be missed there, that athletic director who you mentioned was in tears about losing Campbell. So that's how tough of a job that is. You need to look on a map where Ames, Iowa is. So when all of those things are factored in, I think this is probably as good as they could have done after they missed on a bunch of their premium targets. I have no idea if he'll be better than James Franklin. I have no idea because we've never seen him coach with expectations. Franklin maintained a program, got him to consistently 10-2, got him to start this year number 2 in the country. He just couldn't beat Ohio State. He couldn't beat Michigan. I don't know if Campbell can or not because we've never seen him have to play in games like this.
So the Penn State part of this to me is not a thing because I think they should have kept Franklin. If this was your hire and you got rid of Franklin early on so you could be number 1 in this game of musical chairs and then you were left out at the end. So to me, and we talked about this all along, careful what you wish for here in the firing of James Franklin. Matt Campbell is just that. I don't even know if he's as good as that to me. So it's not a thing on the part of the Penn State part of this. The Iowa State part is pretty interesting. And I'm guessing there's a lot of guys out there like that that just want to get their shot to be a head coach at a Power 4 school, and they're like, I don't care what the salary is. I'll trust you're going to take care of me. Let's just go do this thing.
I mean, those two jobs, I used to say Washington State's a better job than Iowa State, but now Washington State doesn't have a conference.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Like, the old Pac-12 should just go back, and then you wouldn't be in all of this nonsense. I'm pretty sure that's Jim Haycock's brother, the defensive coordinator.
I think you're right.
I think it's Jim Haycock's brother. So that's a lot of Ohio ties because Matt Campbell's from Massillon. He's from Perry, Massillon Perry. So that's a lot of Ohio ties are going to be on that.
And
he's a Mount Union guy.
I don't know where the Haycocks are from, but they obviously have a lot of ties to the Youngstown area and Youngstown State. So I would think Penn State will be recruiting heavily the northeast part of Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, and they did that in the old days. I mean, that they did that for a long time. Like, they would go into Youngstown and get kids from time to time. So that area has a lot of talent.
Speaking of Ohio guys, at 7:32 Saturday night, 7:32 p.m. on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
Michigan football posted, quote, "Welcome to Michigan, Gary Combs, who joins the program as our new special teams coordinator." The announcement says Combs brings 42 years of coaching experience to his position in Ann Arbor, mentoring players at the high school, college, and NFL levels. He will be with the team when they play Texas in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl on New Year's Eve. Thing or not a thing?
So do you remember when Michigan was playing for the national title and we announced that we got Quinshon Judkins in the middle of it? That's this. That's what this
it's
is.
It's the same thing, is what you're saying?
That's what this is. Now, I don't know if he'll have the impact that Quinshon Judkins had at Ohio State. It's going to be so crazy to see him in those colors. So crazy. But I'm never going to judge. And here's why. Money. And how to run your life and live your life. I mean, it's going to be crazy to see him in those colors. But we've had defensive coordinators that were up there and then came down here. And so, while the hatred has never been greater between Ohio State and Michigan, there's a business that happens underneath it, and it happens on the coaching staffs that's obviously very much accepted. But this one hurts because of how much Kerry was almost like the face, like the spiritual face of Ohio State football for a long time. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, when Tony Alford left and went to Michigan, I didn't really care because I understand that happens. He wasn't an Ohio guy. I really like Kerry Combs, and I know things didn't work out for him when he was promoted to defensive coordinator here, but I love his story, and I love the rise from him. Like, in the early 2010s, he was coaching at Cincinnati Colerain, winning, you know, playing, having them play at a high level in football, and then he gets to Ohio State, and just like his enthusiasm and his energy just kind of permeated that team. And he rose up the ranks of the staff and he ends up going with Vrabel to the Tennessee Titans, and he's here. He's the defensive coordinator, and maybe he got there too quick, and he wasn't ready for that job, and it didn't work out. But I love Kerry Combs. I love his story. And, yeah, this one stings a little bit, Bo. I don't like this one.
Yeah. No, I don't either, but I also... I do get it. There's been a lot of them, I mean, that have gone back and forth from one to the next, so it's happened before, but this is an interesting one for sure. We'll blitz the Buckeyes coming up next, and Notre Dame, man, they are going scorched earth. We'll have an update on that story as well. Final hour on a Monday, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Get your furnace.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reese, sir. Number 2 Ohio State's got 23 days to get right following Saturday's defeat in Indianapolis. Number 1 Indiana's the top seed in the college football playoff after their 13-10 win over OSU in the Big Ten title. Both teams are on a bye in the first round of the college football playoff, as is number 3 Georgia and number 4 Texas Tech. Buckeyes will play either Texas A&M or Miami in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal on New Year's Eve. In the NFL, Week 14 wraps up tonight in Los Angeles. The Chargers battle the Eagles at 8:15. Hear it on The Fan following Buckeye Roundtable. Ohio State's head coach Ryan Day will join the Roundtable program at 6:30. In college hoops, Ohio State's men's basketball team is back at the Shot Tuesday. OSU hosts number 14 Illinois at 7:30. Buckeyes look to improve to 2-0 in conference play. They'll play West Virginia Saturday in Cleveland. OSU's head coach is going to preview the big week for his team. The Jake Diebler Show comes up at noon right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Reaction Monday where there is a ton to react to. Bill Bender, Sporting News, is going to join us in 30 minutes. Let's blitz the Buckeyes, shall we, gentlemen?
Bishop and Friends present Buckeye Blitz.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers. Visit Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, we do this well. What do we do well, Reese?
Play defense. Indiana came into the Big Ten Championship scoring 44 points per game. 44.3. Ohio State held them to 13. Should have been good enough, right?
I literally wrote, play defense. That's all I wrote. Play defense. Go ahead, Bake.
Well, I will tell you what I literally wrote, Bo, and it's play defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clean sweep here for this team. And listen, even the balls that were completed in that game, the coverage was good. Those Indiana receivers just made plays. Like,
they're great.
If Jermaine Matthews turns his head on both of those, maybe he actually sees the ball and where he puts his hand knocks it away. But the coverage was good. They just made plays. The defense was great again.
Yeah, they made great plays. They had gutsy calls. They did it without Cooper, who was injured early and is one of their best players. They did it without him. Mendoza wasn't spectacular overall, but God, when he needed to be, he was. Every third down, the fact that he got up from the Caden Curry hit and was right back in was crazy. He was only missed one play.
It was a quick test.
Yeah, and when they needed to, it was, yeah. You saw, like, I don't know if you saw, like, the mouthing of the guy. He's like, you have to go, and he's like, I'm not. Like, I'm not going in there. Like, he wanted no part of going into the... He wasn't doing any concussion testing, I promise you that. We've seen that before. I think maybe we saw that last year with Will, right, in the Michigan game where he got bombed. So sometimes we've seen that in college. It's a little different than the NFL where they literally drag them in. But, yeah, it's defense. Won't beat Indiana if we continue to do what, Reese?
Not take the points. Like, in such a close game like that, I don't think you need to... prove a point here. You just need points. Like, now the rest of the country, I think, is finally on board with goofy Indiana being a legit college football team.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a similar theme from the whole year. Bad play calling in the red zone. And I'm convinced that's just what it is at this point. I don't believe it's execution. I believe it's just really bad play calling. I believe they're overthinking it.
I think it's kind of a mix of all of those things. I don't know if you can put fielding in that spot again in the Cotton Bowl, in the game against Georgia. I mean that's a 25 yarder, right? And that's a chippy. Got to have them. But the entire short yardage plan has been one that hasn't worked really all season. And they've tried C.J. Donaldson, and they've tried Keenholz, and they've tried all of these different things. And it just, they got 3 weeks to get it sorted out. It's the only fly in the ointment. It's the only wart that could spread. It's it. They got 3 weeks. They got to figure out a way to be effective on short yardage and be effective in the red zone. They got 3 weeks to do it. I'd like to see more of what? What would you like to see more of, Reese?
Well, with that being said, the Lincoln package, you put it out there all season, and I thought maybe in a situation where you want to just try something, try anything, yeah, wouldn't he be worth a trot?
For me, it is 4-17 in the red zone. Quit taking those guys off the field. And I love old school smash mouth football, multiple tight ends. Quit taking 4-17 off the field.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what I wrote too. I just think best players on the field on money plays. You need to have them all on the field for that. Coach who earned his courtesy car, Reese, who do you got?
Matt Patricia. But they were great. But he was great. And Indiana had been doing this all. Indiana is great. And they've been doing it all season where you look to Mendoza, you say, make a play, he makes a play. But again, from 44.5 to 13, it's a pretty good job you've done.
Seemed like a similar plan to Michigan in that the linebackers weren't necessarily coming. They were basically just staying in front of Mendoza for any scrambles.
And yes, we can acknowledge
very similar.
The refs were awful. But there's still so many other things out there that Ohio State did not do to lose that game. And yeah, Indiana won that game.
Ohio State's never going to get a holding call. They're just not. Because the bias is you've got better players. And so they're never going to give you the benefit of the doubt whether you want it or not. They're just not.
I think the appropriate answer here was Patricia. I'm going to go Larry Johnson, though. The improvement that Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson, and Caden McDonald especially, all of those guys have made this year is just tremendous. Caden Curry was everywhere on that field the other night. Kenyatta Jackson, I love watching his discipline. When it's so easy for young men their age to want to go make a play, but he realizes, well, no, if I stay here, maybe the play will come to me, and it does. It's just so impressive.
I'll go threes here. I thought Sonny Styles was everywhere. Anytime you looked up, it was zero going somewhere. I know how hard threes fought to get him in that room, make him a linebacker. Now Sonny Styles is one of the best linebackers in the country. He's going to be a top 20 pick in the NFL draft, and he was out of his mind on Saturday. He was unbelievable all game long. Game balls offense, who do you got, Reese?
I'm going to give it to Jeremiah Smith. I'm reluctant to give it to anybody. But I thought that, I mean, his effort the whole game when he was actually out on the field was impressive. It always is. I thought their corner was like my height and still played him pretty well through the game. Mm-hmm. And that Hail Mary catch at the end, like, just fighting to the finish, man.
Yeah, I had Jeremiah written down here. I'm going to go Carnell, though, because Carnell was pretty good, too, and only four catches for 45 yards, but he gets the touchdown. In his hustle and effort on the interception play that I saw, yeah. I don't think he made the tackle. I don't know if he did or not. I can't remember. But I just remember watching the replay and seeing his effort on that. And I think his effort and his why has been questioned a little bit here down the stretch.
Unfairly,
and when I see a guy doing that on a play, I don't question.
No, I think those are two really good ones. I'll go Bo Jackson here, too, who went over 1,000 yards on the season. First freshman since J.K. Dobbins to do so. He just got better and better as it went along. I think they could have even relied on him a little bit more and in the short yardage, too. But I would lean on 25 a lot.
Didn't it feel like he was just one split second yes. away from breaking one multiple times?
There were so many that were shoestring and just pushed off a little. Otherwise, it felt like he was gone. Game ball defense, Reese.
Let me give it to Caden Curry.
Yeah, I love that one. Goes over double-digit sacks on the year. He's been so impressive recently. I'm going to go to Sonny Styles. I think on the very first, maybe it was Indiana's first running play of the game, he kind of set the tone. That running back was coming downhill, and Sonny was kind of fighting off a blocker. Just reached out with one arm and boom, grabbed him and put him down. I thought Sonny Styles played inspired Saturday night.
It's those two. Take the football, take the game ball, cut it in half, one to one, one to the other. Just like Newman cutting the bike in half for Kramer and Elaine. Just cut it in half. Big Ten threat level, who in the league impressed this weekend?
Indiana was sure pretty good.
They're better than I thought.
Boy, those
I knew
Hoosiers.
They were good. They're better than I thought.
Their defense was the number two defense in the country, and it showed. The other night, they played really well. They were really physical, and that's where I thought Ohio State would win that game after watching Indiana play Penn State. Their defense is legit.
Yeah, and when it's funny because, like, if you didn't watch the game and you just looked at the stats, you'd say, like, well, Mendoza was fine. But if you watch the game, every time they needed a play, every time they needed a throw to extend a drive, he made it. He bought time. He got out of the pocket. He was under constant duress, and he made a throw. He made how many third down throws? How many times did they extend drives, keep the ball out of the Buckeyes' hands, keep the Buckeye defense on the field? They didn't necessarily get points, but they extended drives, and they flipped field position. And Mendoza was amazing in those circumstances, especially in the second half. Nationally, who has your attention now, Reese?
Texas Tech. I thought going into conference championship weekend and into the college football playoff, there were two teams that I had serious doubts on Ohio State could, if, of any of the teams, like Texas Tech and Indiana offer similar frustrations defensively, and Tech showed it by belt ass on BYU.
It's Indiana for me nationally too. I wasn't sure if Indiana could win a national championship. I think this team could win a national championship.
Yeah, they can. I think those are the two. Texas Tech's defense, Jacob Rodriguez is unbelievable. If you go look at his game log from this year and what he's done in the biggest games, it's very similar to the season Manti Te'o had when he was a Heisman finalist. I think that kid probably deserves a seat at the Downtown Athletic Club on Saturday night. The more the merrier for that. He probably deserves a seat on that. I got to give a little bit of love to Georgia, too. They're getting better each week. A little better, a little better, a little better. And what that Alabama game was all the way back in September, whenever that game was played, when they lost to Alabama at home 24-21. Since then, they've largely handled business and in largely emphatic fashion. They beat Texas 35-10 a month ago. They weren't electric against Georgia Tech, but they suffocated Alabama on Saturday. And you know the talent's there, so you're going to have to go through them. And we got a little payback for the last time, so we'll see how all of that goes. But Georgia looks to me, you got to start doing that thing, and we'll maybe do that coming up next. Teams who can win it, who you think can win it all, I would put Georgia in that list. Can this team win it all, Reese?
It's an A-. I think if they have to run up against either Indiana again or Texas Tech, if you go into both of those teams, and maybe even Georgia too, Tech impressed me so much with their energy off the defensive line, allowed them to do the same thing Indiana didn't have to do, was really blitz anybody. You will have a really long night against those teams. But if you go like a football Ferrari and take the governor off the damn thing, you'll be okay for Ohio State. So it's an A-.
I still think it's an A+. I still think the Buckeyes are the most talented team in the country, and I still think they're the best team in the country. And when they play their best, I don't believe anybody's beating them.
No, I think it's the best team, highest ceiling. A lesson was learned. I'm going to go A, just because I do think on those two drives, in the second half, they were trying to win the game with all that they had. And the execution in the red zone remains problematic. And they got 3 weeks to get that sorted. And that's really the only wart the team has. Other than that, no notes. Notre Dame going scorched earth today. And how many teams in this bracket can actually win all of it? We will get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971TheFan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt freckled fat guy.
Join now.
With steel, batteries are...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy skies are expected here for today, but it will be a colder day with highs only into the upper 20s to around 30 here this afternoon. Winds will be fairly light at about 5 to 15 miles per hour. And then as we head into tomorrow, we are tracking more cloud cover across the area, but it will be a warmer day with highs into the upper 30s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The only thing better than watching football is talking about it. So we invented Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan. After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. Get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Siena Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Siena Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria. It's home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna. And the energy just keeps on building. Siena Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It is one of the biggest events in all of harness racing. It's coming right here to town. So come experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments. They're waiting for you at Eldorado Siena Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit Caesars.com/Siena Downs. For details. Notre Dame has beef. Look, simply put, and I talked about this in the first hour, there was one group was going to be upset. The Southeastern Conference or Notre Dame. The committee had to make a choice. One or the other was going to be upset. Last year, they made the SEC upset by leaving Alabama out and putting SMU in. They did so because Ward Manuel, in the lead up to the conference championship game, said, if you lose a conference championship game, it can't hurt your standing. That's why SMU was left in. Now, they played competitively against Clemson, but that's why they were left in. They make some changes to the way that we're going to do this thing. Now, all of a sudden, automatic, if you win your conference championship game, you're not in. But five of them have to be in. So that's how you end up in a situation where James Madison is in and Tulane is in. And Notre Dame is on the outside looking in. Notre Dame is politicking bigly. This is Pete Bavacqua. I believe we had this. He was on the Dan Patrick Show this morning. And there are a lot of layers to this thing, but this is certainly one of them, the relationship between the ACC and Notre Dame.
Well, I would tell you, I mean, again, I have tremendous respect for Miami. You know, great team, great school. Their athletic director, Dan Radakovich, is a good friend. And all the teams in the ACC, great, wonderful universities. We have no gripes about any of the schools in the ACC. But we were mystified by the actions of the conference to attack, you know, their biggest, really, business partner in football and a member of their conference in 24 of our other sports. And I would tell you, Dan, I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say that they have certainly done permanent damage to the relationship between the conference and Notre Dame.
The Notre Dame wants the cake and they want to eat it too. That's what they want. They want all the money. They want you to be to feel privileged to be in the same presence as Notre Dame. And the trade-off for that will be we will play five conference ACC games every year. And in exchange for that, all of our other sports can be in your conference. And the ACC is just weak enough that they said yes. And that's why they have the arrangement. I do agree with Nicole Auerbach and what she tweeted here in the last couple of minutes, that it was surprising to see ACC social media accounts taking aim at Notre Dame for multiple weeks. Obviously, the conference wanted to back Miami, but could have compared them to BYU, Utah, et cetera, not a partial ACC member. The pushback I would tell to Nicole on that is, but they were never competing with those teams for a spot. They were competing directly with Miami. Now, the ACC could have done the smart thing and just overridden their own ridiculous conference championship tiebreakers and just put Miami in it. The Big Ten did that in 2020. Ohio State didn't play enough conference games, but they knew Ohio State needed to be in the Big Ten conference championship game, so they put the Buckeyes in because it was the right thing to do. You could have done the same thing here, and you could have put Miami in. You could have just gone off of the college football playoff rankings. You can do whatever you want. Have we not picked up on that yet in college football?
Could they have just done
there are no rules.
A December rematch and just said Notre Dame, Miami for the ACC championship. Sorry, Virginia. But, like, it was Manny Diaz didn't even – like have his team meet the day after Duke won the ACC championship. Like they weren't in team meetings because they didn't even think that they had a chance of making the college football playoff.
Or how about this, Notre Dame? If you're in the conference, you would have been playing for the conference championship
for sure. And this notion that the rug was pulled out from under them, Pete Bavakwa, you didn't get to this point running Notre Dame by being a fool. Like, you were really taking these things literally every week? Have you not learned? I referenced 2014. We've been here before. This isn't an AP poll. They do not have a poll mentality. If you win, you stay, or you go up. If you lose, you drop. That's not what they have. They can do whatever they want, and they're charged with putting the best playoff field together. But they're charged to do so in an absolutely unscrupulous manner in that they have business partnerships with conferences that they cannot not have. Otherwise, they don't exist.
I'm sorry, Reese. I'm not a smart man, but I've been saying this for 3 weeks. This was going to happen.
And it should have.
It's arrogance.
If it's between Notre Dame and Miami, it should have. Miami beat them. That has to matter. It has to matter. The beef you should have if you're Notre Dame should not be Miami. It should be Alabama. But the beef there is one that you can't even really stand on because you don't play in a conference.
I mean, just win your games. If you're ever, you know, wondering why you didn't make it into the postseason, just win. Just win the games. Win the games that you have on your schedule. And I'm thrilled that the conference put Miami in because the games scheduled have to matter. Or else you're going to get to the Steve Sarkisians of the world. They're like, well, we might not even play those games then. And I still think
they're all going to try to get out of them. Though,
I still think there's a chance. I'm trying not to believe that because I want these games, these major non-conference games to be played. Because I look at Alabama and I look at Georgia on Ohio State's schedule in the coming years. I go, please play those games. But if you were to not have Alabama in, I could understand where, you know, Greg Byrne and where Kalen DeBoer be like, why? Why do that?
Mm-hmm.
Where Sarkisian did the same thing. Why do that?
Well, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're going to have to play one of them, right? Because they've all said, unless this changes, but they've all said so far they want 9 conference games and they want 1 group of 4 game outside of that. But you're going to see a lot more Gramblings, a lot more Tulanes, you're going to see a lot of games that don't matter.
Here, everybody wants an NFL model, but this is not the National Football League. These conferences are not created equal. They are not balanced. They're not even in any way. The ACC is not a good conference. Not for football. It's not. Not anymore. They have resources. Some of those programs do not have the resources to contend. Their television package is garbage, in part because of the deal that they made under the previous administration with ESPN. There's no way to dig out of it. I got people down there texting me. I can't wait to. If we're in this spot. People from Florida State, we're in this spot until we join the Big Ten. I don't think the Big Ten wants you, man.
They're still thinking that they're getting in?
And if the
they're still thinking they're getting into this club?
There's, I mean, Tony Petitti has not had a good couple of weeks. But the reality of this thing is that committee is beholden to the SEC more than they are to Notre Dame. And if Notre Dame wants that changed, they can join the Big Ten. The Big Ten would love to have them. You could add one more team and get to an even 20. Then you're in the club. Then you're, and by the way, you can still play USC. Because guess what? They're in the league. You can still play Michigan and Purdue and Ohio State and Michigan State. All teams that you've played historically. Buckeyes less than those other ones, but you get the point. You could play all those games. And still play your military schools and play your Stanfords. You could still do that. I was wondering if this would be something that would force Notre Dame's hand to join a conference. I think they're going to go the other way.
I was about to say, what kind of tone do you take based off of hearing those comments from Bavakwa on Dan Patrick tomorrow at noon? What more can you go off of? You've already kind of scorched earth on the ACC, whom you hold them and probably Mickey Mouse as responsible for your team not playing in the postseason. So then what's the follow-up there?
Don't you think that Notre Dame needs the ACC right now more than the ACC needs Notre Dame? Because they're not full football members. Why does the ACC need Notre Dame in the other sports?
It doesn't. Yeah, you're
right. It doesn't. Notre Dame needs the ACC to schedule their other sports. The ACC doesn't need Notre Dame if they're not in the conference. You think anybody at Carolina cares about going to play in South Bend for basketball? Who cares? They're good at lacrosse? Okay. Come on. They don't have the power that people believe that they have. And I think what happened yesterday is an example of that. Go ahead, Baker.
And if you're Notre Dame, why wouldn't you take this opportunity now to go full-fledged into the ACC? Because that's your easiest path in for every sure. year. Hop for right sure. in there and say, hey,
yeah.
let's go, guys. We're kumbaya. Everything's good. We're going to come win your football conference every year.
Absolutely. And they're only going to play eight conference games, so you can still play USC, provided USC agrees to play you. Yes, for sure they should do that. And I've always been told from people at Notre Dame that that's what they would do, that they would always go ACC over Big Ten if they were forced. We'll get Bill Bender's take on all of this in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, there's few people I'd rather talk to on a Monday like this one than our good buddy Bill Bender of the Sporting News, who joins on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Before we get into all the chaos and controversy, a simple one. Did you think Indiana was this good?
I was surprised at the defense. I knew they were good, but the way that they mixed coverages and played up front and, you know, played a mirror image of Ohio State's defense. I mean, it really is regardless of what your opinion is on Kurt Cignetti, I think Urban, as I said on the morning show, he hit it. I mean, Bo, we're watching one of the greatest coaching jobs in the history of the sport over the last 2 years. And it's every time we doubt him, they do it again.
Buddy, there's no precedent for this. Not in men's college basketball, not in college football. This is the losingest program in the history of the sport. They've never won 10 games. He's 24-2. Like, he just beat Ohio State, who hadn't lost in a year. I don't think that this is duplicable. I think it's him and the combination of all of it, and then their alumni got locked in. And obviously, that was the biggest game in Indiana sports history since Keith Smart hit a shot.
And he embodies their program, much like Bobby Knight did mm-hmm. in basketball. There were people that couldn't stand him. They couldn't stand him when he talked or when he it with his confidence. And you can call it arrogance, but it's a competitive arrogance. And the way that they won that game, and you bring up a great point. They are a football school, and we're mm-hmm. going to doubt them again when they play the winner of Alabama and Oklahoma. That's a story for another day. And we'll doubt them if they bump into Georgia or Ohio State or who at or Oregon again. But he just keeps silencing the doubters.
He does. From the Ohio State side of it, I was surprised at Ohio State's offensive approach. Now, I know some of that was Indiana was as good as they were defensively, especially up front. Like you, I was surprised at how dominant they were up front. What did you take from Ohio State's offensive approach in this game?
Missed opportunities, obviously, in the red zone got a lot of attention. I think I was a little surprised that, you know, in any game like that, you pay attention to the running game. And I thought Indiana's secondary did a reasonable job on Ohio State's receivers. D'Angelo Pons is really good. Mm-hmm. He's a really good player. I mean, he's going to be on a lot of All-American lists. So they just kept things in front, played disciplined football, and I don't want to say made Ohio State impatient, but we'll see what they learn from it. I don't really pass blame around, but I think Ohio State will learn from it like they did last year. And it's not like the defense didn't play bad or didn't play well. They gave up 13 points.
Yeah, no, the defense. I will tell you this though, and if you didn't watch the game, you wouldn't fully appreciate it. It did seem like in the second half when they needed a throw, Mendoza made all of them.
Well, none bigger than the one to Becker, right? Like, yep. That was a huge throw. He's probably going to win the Heisman. I could see cases for a couple other guys, but I mean, that's how you earn it. You make plays like that in the clutch. He, by all accounts, a really good guy off the field. It means a lot to him. And, you know, I didn't know he was going to get up after that first hit by Caden Curry. I thought that might have been the shortest Big Ten championship game performance, but he hung in there, took the hits. And sometimes, Bo, as you know, with kids in sports, when you lose, you got to tip your cap to the other guy, and maybe they'll see him again.
Yeah, absolutely. There was nothing fluky about this. They were the better team, and on that Saturday night, they certainly deserved it. And then that leads to chaos on Sunday. To me, Bill, this comes down to a very simple choice the committee had to make. Either we upset Alabama, and in part the SEC, which is a partner we cannot afford to upset for a second year in a row, whether it's deserved or not, or we upset Notre Dame. And I think they just took the path of least resistance, Bill.
Yeah, I disagree. I think you got to – Alabama, they lost by 3 touchdowns. And my view of it is, yeah, I'm a little – there's a little Notre Dame bias in there, but nobody can say that they've watched Alabama and Notre Dame in the last month and not say that Notre Dame's a better football team than them right now. Right now. I agree. Alabama had the 4 wins against ranked teams. I understand that. What they did to Notre Dame was wrong. To put them in the top 10 the whole time, have them over Miami, and then throw them out. Your path of least resistance comment is valid because – We'll upset Notre Dame. It's less than upsetting the people mm-hmm. in Tuscaloosa or an entire conference that had a 5-loss champion. I think it's absurd that Notre Dame got left out, but I understand one of these fan bases was going to leave unhappy.
Yeah, no, I don't think they got the right teams in. Just so we're abundantly clear, I don't think Alabama is the right team. I just think from their perspective, they could not upset Sankey in the SEC again because at that point, then do you even have a committee? Right. Like if he pulls the SEC, and by the way, and you and I both know this, that's the one conference where if they just claim the national champion and they just played each other, they'd be fine. Like they don't need to play any. That's the mentality down there. So I think they just took the path of least resistance in terms of where the biggest gripe would be. Now, you see the Bavakwa comments this morning. He's on Dan Patrick talking about the damage done to the ACC. Does this at all change Notre Dame's thought process going forward?
Well, I hope so. I hope they start to look at the Big Ten, you know, and this is all speculation, right? We're just having fun. I've always wanted Notre Dame in the Big Ten. I've always loved those September games against Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue. They have USC there. Anybody in Ohio that attended any of those Ohio State Notre Dame games the last 3 times can't tell me there wasn't a ton of heat on those games. It would be so much fun to watch it more often. it's so much better than watching Notre Dame Duke and Notre Dame NC State, with all apologies to those two programs catching strays. I would love them in the Big Ten. And here's the other thing, Bo, I wanted to mention. Had they left Alabama out, it really would have called into question what they need to do is question the value of these conference championship games. Was Saturday night awesome between Ohio State and Indiana? Yeah. But the Buckeyes could always just win a rematch.
You're exactly right, and I think that's the other thing that factored into it. I mentioned that earlier in the show. There is still too much money in those conference championship games, as evidenced by the amount of commercials that are taken, for those to be punted until there's a replacement for them. So until they go to 16 and they can make those television partners whole, they're stuck in this conference championship game. And I don't think – now, the crazy thing is they can talk out of both sides of their mouth about it. Losing in a conference championship game matters in the SEC, but it doesn't in the Big 12.
Right. And you know, BYU slips two spots in the rankings. And no, we don't bat an eye. Nobody cares.
No,
hey,
nobody
BYU
cares.
BYU lost to Texas Tech. We're fine with that. The ACC champion, Virginia, falls all the way out. We don't care. And I think that's the problem. And you're right about the money and the commercials and where the sport is. But to me, the solution is so easy. 16 teams, no automatic berth. Let's do the first two on campus. Then we have Texas and Miami in the playoff. Does it devalue the regular season? That depends on how you look at it.
I don't think it does. I mean, we have three lost teams in it now, and the juice was still there. We had the. I'm guessing by the time all is said and done, it'll be the most watched season of college football ever on television. Attendance doesn't seem to be a problem. I don't think it'll hurt it at all. Now that you look at the bracket, whose path do you like, and whose path do you think is riddled with speed bumps?
Well, when I do a bracket, I'll look at two. Like last year, I got the two games that will make or break your bracket wrong, basically. You know, Oregon, Ohio State beats Oregon, that shapes the entire bracket. And I think the potential for an Ohio State-Georgia semifinal is that's who I think will win the national title. And that's just where I'm at with that. And either team could obviously win that game. Oregon, Texas Tech is the other one. I mean, what a fun matchup that could be. The Red Raiders, I want to see it. I want to see them play Oregon or whoever. I mean, they're going to play Oregon. But and that matchup will kind of shape who I think could win that matchup.
That one is awesome. I tell you what, the idea of Indiana in the Rose Bowl against that Alabama team or Oklahoma. I mean, you're talking Alabama, Oklahoma. Those are Mount Rushmore programs. And the idea that Indiana has done what those programs have struggled to do in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's the reality of this. Outside of the Tulane and JMU stuff, and we understand, I explained earlier why that had to get there, because they needed all the conferences to vote on this to allow for this, and so that's why you're there. Once you get through that, though, those quarterfinals are awesome across the board. It's going to be fun, and despite all of the complaining we all do, buddy, we're all going to be watching it and consuming it.
Yeah, you know, I think the first round might leave a lot to be desired, especially if Ole Miss and Oregon do what they're supposed to do. Alabama, Oklahoma will be fun. The one out of the four, I mean, Miami with that edge rush against Texas A&M at Kyle Field, that's a fun matchup.
It is.
So we'll see. But then when we get to the round of eight on, we're going to have some fun with it, and we'll find a national champion along the way. I think it'll be a good path. And who knows? I've got three Big Ten teams in the Final Four. So maybe that's the conference that will get a little more say these days, if they can get a third straight national title.
I think it's very much in play as well, buddy. Thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciate you as always.
And no problem, Bill. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes. Bill Bender, the Sporting News, joining on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do three things on a Monday coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Daily Show brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. Ohio State falls to Indiana in the Big Ten Championship game, 13-10. Jim Lachey, we saw Indiana give Ohio State issues that nobody else gave them all year.
No, they didn't. When you look at their defensive line, able to get 5 sacks against this offensive line that's only given up 6 in 12 games coming in here. So they found a hole in our offensive line and was able to expose that. And, you know, got to give them credit. Their coordinator moved guys around a little bit. And then really, Indiana's been doing that all year. A lot of movement up their front, but they were able to back it up. Their linebackers on blitzes were able to get through. You know, ran over our backs a couple of times. So just one of the offensive line. It's that whole pass protection. That's a whole group of guys that got to step up and make plays. And then they made some big plays on third downs. Had some big passes. You know, we saw a touchdown pass. In the end zone on a back shoulder fade. We saw Charlie Becker come up with a big catch there on a third down play that helped Indiana, you know, really seal the deal, run out the clock there at the end of that fourth quarter.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Ohio State falls to Indiana 13-10 in the Big Ten Championship game. The good news is we know the Buckeyes will have more time to play.
Yeah, they will. I mean, they'll get an opportunity. This is a 12-team playoff. Last year, Ohio State was the 8th seed, and we know what happened. They were able to take care of business and win it all. So the season's not over. It's not the end of the world. You're going to get an opportunity to still go out and compete for the national championship. So the goal of a Big Ten championship, no, that's not there anymore. But the goal of winning a national championship is still out there. Now, again, you got to fix some of the problems that you've had in this game. It's going to be identified because, let's face it, Indiana put a blueprint out there of how to beat Ohio State. Every team's going to try to copy what Indiana did and use that against Ohio State. So wherever the problems were, you got to get them fixed because you know other teams are going to try to expose you the same way the Hoosiers did.
And this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with 3 locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on. Get in the spirit of the season with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Corollas and Corolla Hybrids. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a gas-powered 26 Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable.
The Fan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to the poll, we've got a game to pick, I do believe.
That is correct. A Monday Night Football game tonight. Bo, I'm not sure what you are going into tonight. Eric is 6-7.
8-5.
Eight and five.
Had a rebound week.
There we go. Nice week.
For Uncle Bo, yeah.
Tonight it will be the Philadelphia Eagles heading to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. And the Eagles are a road favorite, giving 2.5.
I was trying to remember, how much has this line moved since Thursday? Or has it at all? Do you guys recall?
I don't think it has at all.
It stayed right here. It's a really tough one to pick. The Los Angeles Chargers have been lights out at home this season. The Philadelphia Eagles have been leaking oil for about a month here. My guess is there won't be much of a home field advantage at all for the Chargers, but I do think the track fits them, and I do think Philly's got some real issues here. I'm going to go for the Chargers winning this thing outright tonight on Monday Night Football. Fun game.
Go Chargers, go!
Same.
There you go. What do we have in the poll today?
A Daily Fan poll asks, how did Saturday night's loss to Indiana impact how you feel about Ohio State's national championship aspirations? Your options are OSU still in great shape, about 50-50. Buckeyes are toast. 55% say they still feel OSU's in great shape. 37% say 50-50. 8% Buckeyes are toast.
They're fine. They're completely fine, guys. It's all going to be fine. Doesn't mean they're going to win it. And that's probably a conversation for later on this week. Now, you were undefeated, you beat Michigan, you didn't win the Big Ten. So then what is now the minimum requirement for this to be a successful season? That's probably a conversation for later in the week. But that's something that we're going to have to try to wrap our head around over the next 3 weeks until Ohio State plays again. Time for three things on a Monday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perps, your Caesars Rewards spot.
All right, number one for me. So our elf has been back. Ernie the elf has been back. He's been back since, usually comes December 1st is when he makes his grand appearance. And then he hides at various locations around the house in various states, whether he's rappelling or in chairs. Turns out he's got an incredibly large budget at his disposal for the various amounts of poses that we find him in every single morning magically. I also have come to the realization that he must be in some sort of silent partnership with my wife, who one of the greatest beefs I have with her is she leaves every light on in every room she leaves, only always. So I'll come home after basketball practice. They'll be downstairs watching football or whatever. The entire first floor is lit up like Ebbets Field. So I know this about her. And so in the cleaning closet when we built the house, I had installed a light that only goes on when the door is open. So if the door is closed, the light is off. It's an automatic light. If the door is open, light on. Ernie the elf hid in the cleaning closet. That is an attack. And he's clearly in partnership with my significant other.
Yeah, you're hiding around like that. You're scheming.
It's not right.
First thing for me.
The door had to stay open all day.
Yeah.
With the light on.
Oh.
All day. Even as we weren't home. Light on.
It's a couple different schemes. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, you weenies. Taking your ball and going home like that. We make college football playoff. Yeah, we lost two games. Start the season. Like, are they one of the best teams in the country right now? Yeah, but that's not how we do the college football playoff. You should know this. You of any people, of any college football team, of any school in the country, what with your academics and your high graduation rates and all of that, you should know how this works. The idea that you're not going to go to the Pop-Tart Bowl and play BYU, which would, I think, be a really good game. Shame. Notre Dame's athletic director, Pete Bavakwa, we played some of his comments on Dan Patrick's show. He says the Irish opt-out wasn't a specific shot at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Quote, nothing against Pop-Tarts. Well, I'll speak for Pop-Tarts and say, how dare you?
Where is the Pop-Tarts Bowl?
Orlando.
Okay.
It's nonsensical, but that's part of the thing we love about the sport.
Yeah.
But we're Notre Dame, Risa. Come on now.
The smell of our farts.
First thing for me, and we talked a little bit about this, but congratulations to the 7 high school state championships that were won this weekend. 2 local teams in there, Olentangy Orange in Division 1 and Watterson in Division 3. Olentangy Orange's first state championship ever in football. Watterson's back-to-back here for them. By the way, on their defense, they start 10 juniors. Only one senior, so
go win another.
I mean, Bishop Watterson, maybe we'll be seeing them again up in Canton next year. But it was it's always such a great weekend. Unfortunately, I didn't come back with my voice, but it was really exciting to be a part of the call for the Division Four game. Glenville setting history, only giving 27 yards of offense up to Shelby, and then the D7 game, St. Henry winning their seventh state championship, but their first since 2006. Pretty cool. Their head coach, Josh Werling, was on that 2006 team.
That's awesome. I loved seeing like the whole, what it seemed like the entire town of Shelby there for that game too. Like, that was just so cool.
And I can tell you the whole town of St. Henry was there because they were in the hotel lobby with us the night before the game. So
I bet they were. Number two for me, the Dr. Pepper tuition giveaway nonsense needs to go away. It's absurd, especially juxtaposed to McAfee giving away $1 million every single morning on college game day. You're giving away tuition. And by the way, they don't even do it right. They don't even force them to throw a football. They chest pass a football and it wastes 10 minutes. It just makes what is already a way too long of a broadcast even longer and more unwatchable.
When you talk about money, this will be my second thing. Iowa State, Kansas State are also saying no thank you to the bowl system, and they're both going to be fined $500,000. I think you are given a payment if you go bowling. You make money by going to the bowl game. By them not, they're just handing $500,000 to the Big 12. So don't tell me there's no money.
Reese, I don't think they can field teams. Because I think they have all portal, or they have all kids who are on NIL, and that it's not valuable to them to go play in it.
All right.
It's crazy, but that's where we're at.
I hate that the adults in the room have ruined this. And I hate that I woke up yesterday morning and I didn't feel bad that Ohio State had lost, because I know that they're going to be just fine and they could still go win back-to-back national champions, and we won't even remember that game Saturday.
No, and I'll make this the collective three for all of us. That music means the Jake Diebler Show is coming up next. Nice win in Evanston on Saturday. That's a win probably last year that would have turned into an L because it got dicey late, but they held on, kept their intestinal fortitude, and finished that one out in style. Good job out of them. His show's coming up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.